Let's ask the Lord for his help. Our God and Father, we just pray that it would be that each and every person in this room here today, Lord, would be found walking close to you until the day happens, Lord, where the shout is given. We pray to keep us. We ask for your help in the few minutes that we have together here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I just would like to read a few verses from 2 Peter. Sorry, I got to remember to stay in front of this mic. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then just two verses over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The Epistle of Peter was written to Christians who had been dispersed because of persecution. They were Jews who had been converted to Christianity and had suffered tremendously because of their faith. The Epistle of Peter, especially the first epistle, talks a lot about the suffering that they endured. And in this particular chapter in 2 Peter, it's been on my mind lately, because it really deals with a walk that if a Christian walks in a way of practical godliness, it allows them to be an overcomer in a culture that is hostile to Christianity. In many ways, the day in which we live today is not altogether different, really, in the days, you know, that we talk about with respect to the Epistle of Peter here. And I think that this bears a lot of intense relevance to each of you young people here today. Time does not permit to go into each of these things that I mentioned here today. I really just hope to introduce maybe the subject and leave it to you to look into it further. But there are 8 things specifically referenced here. I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm going to touch on a few of them that really speaks of a life of practical godliness lived that allows each of you to be an overcomer in the culture in which you live. Increasingly, we live in a culture where Christians are getting swept up in the tide of secularism. And I'm going to skip to the end of what I read there in 2 Peter chapter 1. It talks about one that actually is speaking, I do believe, of a believer in verse 9, where it says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Unfortunately, there are those who may fall into that condition where there's no real evident, and I have to be careful what I say, because I do believe each true believer has some fruit that's evident in their lives. But in many ways, it is maybe what we call a saved soul and a lost life, where there's very little fruit for God. And by the way that they live, it appears that they have forgotten really from whence they have been saved and what they've been saved from, and fall back into the very sins that Christ had delivered them from. And that's not to say we can lose our salvation, but the choices that they're making certainly do not reflect the true life that they possess. And so in this list of eight things, it starts with faith. And faith is simply, I believe God. And really, every true child of God is an overcomer in the sense that they do possess the faith that it's talking about here. It is the foundation, really, of what follows. And these list of eight things here really build upon each other, but it starts with faith. Faith looks beyond what we see with our eyes. It looks beyond to what we do not see. And unfortunately, there are those Christians who live their life simply by what they do see, and their decisions are guided accordingly. May it not be so with each of us. The next thing it talks about is virtue. I think of this with respect to moral courage. Having the courage to say yes to what is right and no to what is wrong. And dear young people, I just urge you to say yes to what is right and no to what is wrong. It is a lesson that we, including myself, have been very slow to learn in life, but we often learn it through much sorrow. We need to learn to say yes to what is right. The next thing that is mentioned is knowledge. This isn't just really talking about knowledge in terms of, you know, head knowledge of science and mathematics and so on. This is really the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His will. And this is learned first and foremost from a knowledge that is found within the Word of God. And unfortunately, there are those who get swept up in the current of what I talk about of the culture because they do not know the Word of God. And this is something that is prevalent through all of Christianity today, including those, I would say, sadly, those who are gathered to the Lord's name. It is important to know your Bible, to read it. Because if we do not know it, we won't know God's will for our life. Our kids have gone to a Christian school. Several of them are graduated now, but I know that this is something that they were concerned about in the administration, and they got all the families together and they said, look, it is not enough for you to come on a Sunday and hear a 40-minute sermon and think that that is going to be enough to keep your kids. It has to start in the home. It has to be read in the home. And if you don't know the Word of God, you will get swept up in false teaching and error. And so knowledge is important. The next thing it talks about is temperance. Really think of this as self-control. We need to learn to exercise self-control. This is something that, you know, it was difficult to come by for some of us here in this room. Some people tend to be more disciplined than others. But self-control is extremely important. The next thing, and this is just the last I'm going to reference in these group of eight things, and that is patience, but it really can be rendered endurance. We have to know what it is to be able to endure, to suffer hard things. It is often in the season of life where we go through hard things where we grow the most. And I've learned that in my own life. It is important that we're able to endure, in other words, just not quitters and say, I give up. We have to be able to endure things that are difficult. You know, in 1 Peter there it talks about that suffering and experiencing difficulty is in many cases in accordance to God's will for our life, that we are able to know what it is to endure. I want to mention these things in reference to the life of Daniel. And I got to keep my eye on the time because I know we've 10 minutes passed, and I know what it was like being a young person, and that person always went 25 minutes. So I'm going to try to keep this to 5 minutes. I believe in the life of Daniel that he encapsulates really these 8 things we talked about, or most of them. And I just encourage you to look at it in chapter 1. You know, Daniel did not have it easy, and I really, really respect him. He was somebody that was taken captive from his homeland, carried away to Babylon. That chapter is so relevant to the day in which we live. You know, he was, found amongst a group of a bunch of other guys. To the best of our knowledge, he was most likely made a eunuch. It doesn't say that explicitly, but I believe it strongly implied that he was made a eunuch. And so we don't read that he was ever married or had children. He was placed in circumstances where they wanted to essentially groom him and teach him in the ways of the Babylonians. But Daniel endured, and Daniel stood fast. He was an overcomer in the culture in which he was placed. He knew what it was to demonstrate moral courage to say yes to what's right. And so when food was offered to him and he had concern that it was perhaps offered to idols, he said no. And he proposed a different solution that God honored. He demonstrated moral courage in that moment. He demonstrated endurance at the end of chapter 1, and I know I spoke about this at a young people's in Cuyahoga Falls a couple years ago. But it says he continued until the year of Cyrus. And to me, that's such an encouraging verse because in the midst of that godless place where he lived, he was an example to those other 3 young men. And he showed tremendous courage in doing what he strongly believed what was right. He had purpose of heart not to defile himself. And I believe that he lived his life consistently and continued all the way until the day that Cyrus made the decree that they could return back to their homeland. He was a man that was faithful in 2 administrations of the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, held a very responsible position. It says in chapter 6 that in him was found an excellent spirit. And so really time does not permit to go into all the things that I love about Daniel, but what I see in his life is a young man who was an overcomer in the culture in which he lived. And why do I bring Daniel into this? If you go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, those 8 things are listed because I'm going to read it because I'm not going to quote it exactly right if I try to do it from memory. So I'm just going to read this and then I'm almost done. It says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Daniel, I don't believe, ever had children or a wife. He never knew what it was to experience the joy as I experienced to hold my son in my own arms. But yet I believe that Daniel's life was not barren. There was much fruit. And he serves as an example to generation after generation, including the generation that's in this room today in 2025, that it is possible to live a life honoring for God, no matter what happens in our culture. And so I just encourage you, young people, be faithful to the Lord. have courage to stand fast, to have the moral conviction to say yes to what's right, to no to what is wrong, to live a life honoring to God, no matter how difficult. You know, there's a little song that sometimes when I was little, we grew up singing, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to make a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. May we all be like Daniels. You know, in this day in which we live, in many ways, it's the most exciting time to live because it's on the doorstep of the Lord's return. But may we be found like Daniel, faithful before the Lord, serving him on the cusp of his return. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just pray for each of these young people here today, and for myself and for my family too, Lord, that we would be found faithful to you. We acknowledge, Lord, that so often we fail. And perhaps there are those in this room who did not start the journey well. But may we all be found, Lord, finishing strong. And to be faithful to you. These eight things that are referenced, Lord, in 2 Peter chapter 1, may they be lived out in our lives, Lord, and that there would be much fruit for you. Help us, we pray. We know that you care, Lord, about each and every person in this room. You know the mistakes, the hurts, the pains, Lord. Those who are struggling with depression and anxiety. Those who may be the only young people in their assembly, Lord, and find it so hard. Help us to be like Daniel, to stand firm and fast, Lord, to be an example in our culture, Lord, in which we live, to be an example to our fellow brethren, Lord. We just ask this. We do give thanks for the food and for the refreshments that we will share together, and we pray for your blessing upon the rest of this time at this conference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.